Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello. Today we are recording in our studio with our guest, Pearson Sigina. And I am so excited about this conversation, and I know it's going to be very encouraging and full of hope for you. Now, I'm not going to lie. Like most of our conversations, though, there may be some challenging or convicting aspects to it. So Pearson is a student pastor, but not just any student pastor. He is the student pastor that my husband, Ryan, and I have the privilege and honor to serve under in our church's student ministry. Now, when you hear his story, you're going to understand why it is such a great privilege to serve on his student ministry team. And when you hear of his obedience and heart for students and the kingdom, you're just going to be so encouraged. I love it. Pearson embodies really what it means to be brave in a world saturated with media and technology. So welcome to the show, Pearson.
Thanks, Kelly. I'm so glad I'm here.
Yeah, awesome. So just to get started, can you kind of just give us a quick summary of who you are and what you do in the sense of student pastor?
Yeah, I'd love to. Like Kelly said, I'm Pearson. I'm student pastor at Curry Creek, and basically my role is I get to love 250 kids and love 50 volunteers who show up every week faithfully and get to love on kids, and it's the greatest job in the whole world. So,
and you're married.
And I'm married. My awesome wife, Grace, we got married around 8 months ago.
Awesome. Congratulations.
So graduated in May, got married in May, and started my job in June, and now we're here.
Okay, now this is a really, I think, an important point for everybody to recognize, because it's hard to guess age. So you graduated college.
Yep.
Less than a year ago.
Yes.
Which puts you at?
23. Yep.
So I've got children older than you. It's okay. That's all right. I'm fine with my mid-40s. That's good. But it's awesome because you are solidly Gen Z.
Right.
And come on. And you are here as a student pastor.
Right.
Right. So you felt the calling of the Lord, you obeyed, and you are now leading Gen Alphas and the younger of Gen Z to the Lord.
Yeah. It's the greatest gift in the world.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. So and I point that out that you're Gen Z because I don't think anybody's going to believe it after we have our conversation because you kind of embody what looks different. What you're on the narrow road where so many are on the wide road, and it's just so encouraging. So let's get into this a little bit. Tell me just first about a little bit of your faith journey. Yeah. Were you raised Christian? Did you always feel the calling to ministry?
Yeah, I would say I was raised in a home who loved God and knew God and went to church every couple of weeks to every month. Wasn't really taught about discipleship in the home. My parents didn't really know what that looked like, but raised me as faithfully as they could and knew how. Time in high school with parents was difficult. Some things with my parents, but all the while, I think received a lot of love from them in a lot of different ways. But in that, I would say a lot of my life was seeking to earn the approval of my dad, and whether it be sports, whether it be school, whether it be anything, it was all I wanted to do was earn the love and approval of my dad. And that led to high school for me, where I looked great, I had great grades, I was leading people, I was loving people, and everyone's natural response was, oh, you must be a Christian. And it was like, yeah, I am a Christian. And went on all of high school to be known as the Christian guy and was president of Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my school and was on student leadership team at my church and was the spiritual leader of my football team. And all the while, didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And that was a lot of high school for me, was having an external appearance of loving God when in reality would go home and live a completely different life. And ended up going to college at Colorado School of Mines, wanting to pursue an engineering degree and make a ton of money. And that's why I went to school and get to Colorado. And for the first time was away from my girlfriend and away from my family. And my girlfriend at the time was the idol of my life and very much so my God. And was sitting in my dorm room one night, depressed and anxious. It was in the middle of COVID in 2020, and was like, man, I don't know what else to do. So I randomly opened my Bible to Luke chapter 1, start reading the Gospel of Luke, and God literally changed my life overnight.
Wow.
And woke up the next day and was like, oh my gosh, Jesus is real. And it was just like reading through the scripture, it was like, I saw the person of Christ, and he was like the guy I talked about literally all of high school. He's actually living and actually died for me and rose so I can experience new life. And literally that day started sharing the gospel across the campus at Colorado School of Mines. And it was just shocking how God transformed my life so quickly. And in that transformed my relationship with my girlfriend, who's now my beautiful wife, and just completely wrecked my definition of love from one of, I want to love you for the purpose of receiving something, to, man, love looks like getting to serve you. And didn't do that perfectly all of college, but it was neat to see the way God grew my heart. And from there, college, I ended up transferring to Texas A&M after a year at Colorado School of Mines. And the purpose was I wanted to be in Christian community. And I loved my year at Colorado School of Mines. It was a year of me growing intimately with the Lord and learning what it looks like to be in love with Jesus. But being at A&M, it was incredible being surrounded by guys who loved God and wanted to push me to look more like him. And that was college for me, was living with seven other dudes who loved Jesus and being a young life leader and working at a summer camp called Pine Cove during the summers. And all of those things, it was just like, I loved being around high school students because I was like, man, I wish someone when I was in high school took me and was like, do you really love the Lord? Do you really know him? And ask me the hard questions, ask me how my relationship with my girlfriend was, ask me all of these things. And God just gave me a heart for, man, I want to walk along high school guys to show them that God isn't just a God in the clouds, but he's a God of relationship that wants to walk alongside you. And that was college. And it was a gift and a joy. And God grew my heart for discipleship and just to teach men, man, what does it look like to be a man of God who loves God and shares him with other people? And that led me to basically a realization of, man, I love engineering. In reality, I love my engineering classes because I want to talk to people about Jesus. And I love being a young life leader. And all I want to do is talk about Jesus. And God just like continued to press on my heart full-time ministry, and ended up searching one day in my first day of classes back at A&M my senior year, and literally typed in ministry jobs in Texas, hit enter, random church called Curry Creek pops up. I apply, and now we're here.
Here we go. Yeah.
There we go.
That is super encouraging. I know a lot of parents, obviously parents is our main audience, and so parents are scared to send their kids off to college, not having any idea what that's going to be like. If they have some faith, maybe it's going to be destroyed because of the party scene or something else, or just the radical ideologies that can be taught in a lot of college classes. And so that hopefully gives a lot of hope to others, because I know there's a lot of Christian ministry going on a lot of college campuses.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the reality of our God is he's going to meet them where they're at, right? And it's not about, man, I don't want to send my kid away. It's, man, Lord, would you show up where they are? And would they seek to pursue you? And I think me sitting in my dorm at Colorado School of Mines in a state that is godless, and the Lord showed up because he desired to, and he will continue to do that.
Yeah.
So it's always an encouragement to me to see kids walk away and be like, man, seek the Lord and he is going to be there, right?
Yeah, that's really great. I love that. I'm glad that you shared that aspect, because that's it's a really important point for parents to hear. So let's talk a little bit. We're going to talk about idols.
Awesome.
Let's talk about, though, because idols, a lot of time we come back to social media, and you had an experience with that. But let's start with, what was your relationship with social media? Because as someone who graduated high school in 2020, that was really the peak time. I mean, you, since I have a daughter, you're same age. So I know I've walked right through that when come middle school. Everybody was getting on Instagram, and everybody had all of the platforms there at the end. TikTok was so huge. So did you have those platforms? How did you feel about social media at the time?
Yeah. So starting sixth grade, I had Snapchat,
The devil.
Yes. Created by the devil and is used by the devil. And I never had Instagram. I never wanted Instagram. And finally, my junior year of high school, all my friends were like, bro, you need to hop on Instagram. And I was like, do you know what? You're right. So I finally got on junior year of high school.
And did you feel like you used social media a lot? Like, were you on Snapchat a lot?
Snapchat was, and I would say still is like such a major form of communication. So for me, all of high school is like every single group chat, which is so interesting because it's still what we see now.
Yeah, it is. I actually did a podcast about how I admit it and humbled myself and said, I've actually changed my mind about Snapchat some. Because I had always said it was the worst. It was the absolute worst. But then when TikTok came out and its algorithm was revealed to be so, so toxic and I mean, almost so precise that it could lead you down really dangerous rabbit holes, I realized as well that Snapchat was just primarily used for communication. It wasn't as much being used for the Discover
for sure
feed that I thought was absolutely terrible, but teens weren't using it. They were just using it to communicate. So if you ever had the choice, I had to humble myself and say, actually, I'm going to put TikTok as the worst because that algorithm is really that bad. Okay, so you're on Snapchat. So in junior year, you got Instagram. Yep. And then how was it? So you came to know the Lord, grew intimately with him freshman year and on through college. How was social media while you were in college?
Yeah. So Snapchat, I deleted spring semester freshman year and haven't had it since. And I don't know. I honestly don't remember why. It was just like, this isn't useful anymore. And honestly, the ways I was using it weren't honoring the Lord. And I think because of that, it was like, why have it? And Instagram had it all of college. And I think me and all of my best guy friends, it was just like, man, this can be used for really bad things. And for all of us, we were all in accountability together and had restrictions on Instagram all of college. And
so mutually kind of like, hey, let's all do this.
Yes.
Wow. Powerful.
Yeah. And they are incredible. And with them, I think being in a community that was so passionate of, we want to love God. And if that means giving 15 minutes to Instagram a day, that's what we'll give Instagram. And, that was so, I think, impactful for all of us because it was a group mindset of, yes, we're all in it together.
And we often say, and I encourage parents, say it's so much easier to do in community. Anything is easier to do in community. And I've heard it even, you know, asked of teenagers, like, would you give up social media just by yourself? And they say, well, no way. But if all of your friends were to give up social media, well, then yeah, I would. Because if everybody's off of it, then it's easier.
Exactly.
Well, if everybody's going under the same type of restriction of 15 minutes was so much easier, you know, because no one else is going to continue scrolling for longer while you're like twiddling your thumbs because your time is up.
Yeah. And we're seeing that with a group of seniors right now. There's a big group of them that all decided like, all right, we're deleting Snapchat together.
Awesome.
It's been so cool to see that wave shift of kids being like, why are we on this?
Why?
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Okay, so you recently preached the Sunday service, the end of December, and it was amazing.
Thank you.
I'm going to put the link in the show notes so everybody can go listen, because you did a really phenomenal job. But it was on the radical destruction of idols.
Right.
And so tell me a little bit about, I don't know if that's why you chose that topic to preach on, is because of your realization, or if you were already preaching on that and the Lord revealed it to you. But tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, I would love to. I was going through the book of Deuteronomy in December, and I was talking to our lead pastor and was like, hey, do you have any structure or where do you want me to go for the sermon? And he was like, whatever you want. I was like, great.
Awesome. Blank page.
Shout out, John. And it was just fun. I was reading through Deuteronomy, got to Deuteronomy 7, where Israel is about to cross over the Jordan River, and it is Moses's final speech, basically, to the Israelites. Mm-hmm. And get to the part where Moses is basically introing them, like, we have to go in to this unconquered land and we have to destroy everything in the land. And I was sitting with the Lord after that and I was like, that is so radical. Like, you aren't just calling them to enter into the land that you have promised them, but you're saying, I want you to go and I want you to wipe out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting with him, I was like, God, what are areas of my life that I'm not completely giving up to you. And obviously we serve a God who continues to speak and always will. And I love that as I get to sit with him and hear from him, he put Instagram on my heart. And I was like, what? And it was at the time. So I had deleted Instagram for 3 months at the time and didn't have the app on my phone. And I was like, God, I don't have Instagram right now. How could this possibly be an idol in my life? Mm-hmm. And I was like sitting and wrestling with that for a couple of days. And he was like, even in the midst of you having or deleting this app, you're still thinking about, man, I wonder like what kids are thinking if I'm not following them back because I have Instagram deleted. I wonder who is following me. I wonder who is or what friends are posting what. And it was just like everything was rattling in the back of my brain and I didn't even realize it.
Wow.
And there was a day of like, I asked him, I was like, okay, so what does it look like for me to destroy Instagram? And he was like, I want you to delete your Instagram profile. And for honestly a whole day, I was like, no.
That's the general response that we like to have when God told us to do something really hard.
Yeah. And that's just me being honest. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, surely there's something else I can do. And
I think I heard you wrong. Let me.
Yeah.
That was it was my thoughts. What we always question that, right?
Yes.
Is that the Holy Spirit speaking that to me? Or is that just not my crazy thoughts?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And finally, one night before bed, I completely deleted my Instagram profile. And I lay down in bed and sit with my wife. And I'm like, I feel so free. And it was just like a weight completely lifted off of my shoulders. And man, that was the moment of, as I continued to sit with the Lord, of just like what I was experiencing, he was like, I want you to teach this to the congregation at Curry Creek. I was like, okay, why? And he was like, because it was, and I taught just before the new year started. And he was like, I want you to relate the Israelites right before they go into the new land to us right before we enter into a new year. Mm-hmm. And how as we enter in a new year, it's so easy to step into idolatry of all of these things or to add more things to our calendar or to place more priority on these things. And he was like, and I want you to share with them what it looks like to actually destroy those idols for the sake of finding freedom in me. And that's where the idea of the sermon title is Radical Freedom. And I was sitting with the Lord and he was like, it's in the midst of radical destruction of idols that we actually experience radical freedom in Christ. And that was the heart behind the sermon series.
I think for so many people, they probably have had an experience that is very similar to yours. Because we all know, as we scroll, this isn't good for me.
Right.
I don't think that anybody is thinking, this is so good. This is filling me spiritually. You know, totally. There's very few, people who are even giving enough thought actually to do it, you know, but we all know deep down that that it's not good. And so to think that you heard that call of it's still an idol because you had deleted it and you were probably thinking, I'm living in obedience. Like, yes. This is great. By taking that next step of obedience of where the Lord led your heart, freedom.
Yeah.
And you also had said in the sermon, and I think that it's really poignant to mention it here, is that we often will say, okay, I'm going to set this idol aside. You know, whether it be, you know, alcohol, I think was maybe an example you had said, but if you still have alcohol in your house, you've given it up. Well, at any point in time, you can just, it's fine. You know, I'm just going to go back to it. And especially when it comes to media and technology, I think it's very easy.
So easy.
Because it's available all of the time with very little effort. And so it's easy to just say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to delete the app. But then with one tap,
exactly.
You have the app. And
that's
back.
What I found with myself. It was like there would be a night where Grace was doing something with Young Life, and it was like, I have 3 hours, might as well re-download Instagram. And it was it was like I would just scroll for an hour.
Wow.
And it was just like mind numbing. And yeah, so it's
and then shocking. When you get out of it, do you feel like, oh, I feel caught up on the world? Or
no, it's, man, I feel empty and separated from the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
But,
and my guess is your feed is probably fairly Christian. I mean, you're probably not following. For
sure. And I think what I realized is like, even in the midst of, because a lot of it is like sermons or random things about scripture. And
sure.
It's like, even then it's like my brain doesn't remember anything I watched. It's just used to going to the next thing.
Wow.
And that was so convicting for me because I was like, even if I'm going to Instagram, say I'm like wanting to listen to a sermon from Matt Chandler or a 1 minute reel, it's like, man, I'm not going to remember that because I'm just going to swipe to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is another big reason why the Lord was like, I want you to remove this completely. But
right. And so often parents or students want to do that, but then because they don't fill it with some, they don't fill that time. If the average time, I don't know if you know this, but the average time that teenagers spend on social media is 4.8 hours a day. That's a new number that came out in at the end of 2024. 4.8 hours a day. I can't wrap my brain around it. I don't even spend often 2 hours of total phone time into to think that would be all on social media.
Wow.
It's a high, right. So, but if you think about just, let's just say 4 hours, if you're not replacing that 4 hours with something else.
Totally.
Then it's very easy to go back to that idolatry.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's like, it's funny, since I deleted it, the amount of, like, I've replaced that with reading or going on a walk. Like, it's just, it's funny. Like, I finished a book in January and it's like, wow, I have so much free time that I didn't have before.
And you're spending, I'm guessing, time in community with other people.
Yeah.
You're more face to face.
My awesome wife.
Yeah. And then newlywed time. You know, I also was just thinking about when parents post about their kids or anybody who posts. I don't know if you posted or if you were just a scroller. I feel like there's two different kinds of people. There's people who post a lot of content. True. And then there's people who
didn't post at all.
Yeah. Okay.
I maybe had 12 over like 8 years.
Okay. So. I kind of envisioned that might be what you'd be like. But the people who do post, when you post something, and this is why I don't engage very often, even in Brave Parenting's social media profiles, everything just kind of goes out automatically behind the scenes, because you think about it. You think, I wonder how many views that's gotten. I wonder if there's any comments. And like you had said, in the back of your mind was this almost like a conversation with yourself about what's happening in this virtual space, which is real people engaging there. But I think that for parents, especially for students, you post that, you can't stop thinking about it because you've put your worth into that post.
A lot of, because I've seen friends do that really well. And I think a way I've seen that combated, especially thinking about it consistently, is friends who have the app but completely remove any notifications from it.
Yeah.
And that is like, it's been so neat to see them like be able to post and post for the sake of sharing something about the gospel, but then to not even be worried about the notifications or turn off their likes is a really encouraging thing that I've seen.
Yeah. Definitely a healthier, more positive way to interact with it. My problem is probably people are annoyed with me because I go maybe 3 months and I'm like, oh, look, someone asked me a question. I haven't gotten back, you know, so
totally
there's, I probably might take it to the other extreme. But okay. So we did talk about this. So you started in the fall with, our student ministry.
Yep.
And actually we met in March of last year. So almost a year ago. And immediately, cause this is how I am. I, you know, just tell everybody and I'm like, hey, this is what I do. I talk to parents about social media and technology and we've been really praying here at Brave Parenting just about the idea of student pastors on social media. And so I had brought that topic to you and you were kind of like, yeah, I've already wrestled with this. And this is why I'm not on Instagram. But talk about what you think, like either the justification, but the benefits or the detriments of youth pastors being on social media as a way to connect with young people, because that's just where they are. I mean,
for sure,
90% of teens are on one of the social media platforms. And so obviously we know that they're there. So how did you kind of, maybe did you think about that, wrestle with that, maybe engage with other student pastors in community? How do they do it?
Right.
What are your thoughts?
I'll start with me. It was definitely something I wrestled with a lot even before I came on staff, because there were a ton of students from Bernie that were following me. And I was really wrestling with, like, especially when females would follow me, it was just like, man, God, I don't even know these people yet. And I don't want to just follow them for no reason. And I think my heart behind it, especially as I had social media over the summer, it was okay, God, I want to follow and engage with these students over texting them or calling them or face-to-face, especially like for male students of I don't want to DM them over Instagram. I don't want to re-download Snapchat. I don't want to communicate with them over social media. I want to communicate with them over texting or whatever it may be. And that was kind of my thought process going into it, because social media, the reality is it can be scary and you can send things and delete them. And all of a sudden it's like, you feel like you're in a trap because of what someone sent you. And I think it's a dangerous thing, but also the reality of social media, especially, is that is where every student is, right? Mm-hmm. Gen Z, that is, everyone is on Instagram. Everyone, a lot of people are going to be on Snapchat. And I think that is why I have seen close friends of mine be on social media and do it so incredibly well, because they are meeting people exactly where they're at and they're using it for the purpose and sake of the gospel ministry. And all the while connecting them back and bringing these relationships from a global or from a platform mm-hmm. into reality. And I think that is something really encouraging for me, is people who are willing to be on the app for the sake of building relationships face to face. And I think that's an incredible way to do it. For me, it was a personal conviction of, I just want to meet kids. And my way of doing that is going to be different than other people, because God convicted me of my own sin and my idolatry of Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't worth saying, Lord, I don't care if I'm idolizing something else. I want to go and be where these kids are at. It was just a question of, man, Lord, why would I disobey you for the sake of ministry whenever my ministry is only going to come from me being with you and being in obedience to you, right? And I think that was my personal story.
Yeah. Now, you had said something I want to clarify, because this is the mentality that goes into being a person on Instagram, a young person on Instagram. People were following you. And so, but you don't post.
Right.
So there's nothing really they're going to see. But what you felt was that, was it an obligation, in my understanding, an obligation to follow back?
Yes, because I would have kids, especially when I deleted the app, that would come up to me and be like, dude, why haven't you followed me back? Like, do you not like me? Is there something between us? And it was like, wow, dude, I haven't had Instagram in 2 months. I'm so sorry.
Very interesting. Yeah. And so some people hang on it.
Right.
That they're taking it personally mm-hmm. that you had not followed them back.
Because it's a different part of their life, right? And that is like a new aspect of personal relationship with people with social media.
Even though it's just a tap of a button to follow right. back, that simple task of just saying, yeah, I'll just accept you in.
Yeah.
But if you withhold that, then it almost, they understand it as almost, I don't say malicious, but it's hurtful.
Because the questions over and over and over again in their heads are, am I valued?
Yeah.
Am I loved? Am I safe? And me not following them back is am I not loved? Mm-hmm. Am I not valued? Right.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's insightful. And then your high school seniors that you had just mentioned that are kind of like getting rid of Snapchat, do you think that you and being off of social media, I mean, what a great testimony in front of these students, I think, because I think it's obviously better the less young people are on these apps, of course. I know that they're going to be on there, but to use it in a healthier way, to use it less, 4.8 hours, are you kidding? That's the average, right?
Right.
I mean, so I believe it's 16-year-old girls is actually higher, is 6 hours. And
right. And I'm hearing that, but I also, the other side of me is keeping in mind that is their main form of communication.
Yeah.
You know, so it's while that seems like an overwhelming amount of time, I'm thinking about, okay.
It's not all scrolling time.
Right.
It's a lot of DMs. It's a lot of communication.
Snapchat, group chats, whatever it may be.
True. Yeah. So do you think that you had an influence over some of the seniors doing that commitment and sort of?
I don't think a lot of it came from me. I think it came through their desire for, I think, just under like asking the question of why.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few guys specifically that I was just like, hey, what's the purpose of this? Like, why do you have Snapchat? Can you not text your friends in a group chat on iMessages?
That's what I'm always asking.
So there were a couple who deleted social media, but overall it was just like, I'm going to I also don't want to advertise that. Well, I did in a sermon, but I don't know. I'll share with them my convictions for social media mm-hmm. and also challenge them of like, man, if you're walking in pursuit of the Lord, ask him, man, God, is this an idol in my life? Is this something that I need to give up for you? Why do I actually have this app? Is it for the benefit of myself and the benefit of my own ego and my own pride? Or is it for the sake of giving my life away? And I've been really encouraged specifically by a couple of guys that I'm walking closely with that are just like, yeah, I don't want this anymore. Mm-hmm. So
it's much easier the older that you get in high school. Like right. if you're just looking freshman to senior, the freshman, it's still very, very hard. And I have found definitely last year when I had senior girls, now this year I'm back with freshmen, a new group of freshman girls. But when I was with senior girls, I had several of them delete Instagram and felt the conviction before they went to school. Like, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want this.
Right.
And so it is definitely easier the older that they get.
Yeah.
But for youth pastors specifically, you know, we always say you never go from A to Z. There's a B to Y. And I mean, the risk, I think it's great if you're super intentional, if you've got a lot of accountability around you. Right. But like you had said, there, it can be a trap, things that can be sent. It's a slippery slope. Such a slippery slope. Depending on what you're following. And I think that's really hard. And when we talk about an idol and what it's like, why it's radical, right? Mm-hmm. Why it takes radical destruction to get rid of them is especially social media, because it's not just this thing that you do on your own that's unhealthy, like gambling or alcohol or some other, you know, vice that we all know of that we can maybe think about and relate to. Social media not only is an idol in the sense that it has all of their friends, it is all of their life. It is like, I feel like when I visualize it as an idol, it's like clinging to them. Like to get rid of it takes so much strength.
Without a doubt.
And yeah.
That is, I think the hardest thing is it's like their entire social lives are wrapped around it. And that is so hard to give away.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't the case for me when I deleted Snapchat my freshman year of college, right? That was easy. But like seeing these kids now, it's taking a huge amount of faith for them to say, I'm willing to leave this behind for the sake of Jesus.
And that's, it's huge.
Huge.
I would definitely, my stance would of course be not to let your high school student or middle school, I mean, really it's starting so much earlier to even get to that point where it's an idol that is clinging to them. Their whole world revolves around that, because I know especially in the church, we find a lot of students whose parents are standing strong. And these are kids who maybe don't even have phones until 16. Right. Praise God. I love that.
Yes.
You know, and they
it's
don't.
It's funny. There's times where I'm like, bro, why don't you have a phone? And I'm like, wait.
I know.
No, this is
good. Right? You do sometimes feel that way. It's true. It's true. I was with some of my freshman girls, and they were talking about a book they were reading. And I'm like, oh, I love it. Oh, yes, I read that book. You know, have this conversation. And I was like, I love that you guys read and that you love books. And these were, I think almost all of them were either private school or homeschooled. And a handful of them did not have phones. And they were like, very innocently, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. They said, yeah, like when people say they don't read, I'm like, well, what on earth do you do to pass the time?
Wow.
And I was like, that's awesome, because they don't know.
So awesome.
Because they don't have the phone, because they don't have social media, they don't even know that life of constant scrolling, of constant like being drawn to that to that phone. And so they're reading books. Isn't that amazing?
And like, not even thinking anything of it.
And not, that's yes, the like that's part. Their normal. Right. Absolutely. So awesome. Okay. So before we kind of wrap up, because this has been really awesome and I love talking about this, and we probably can continue talking, but what do you think? I know one of the biggest concerns that we hear lots of feedback and questions, and it's parents who are really trying to disciple their kids and really do it well so that their kids are not walking away from the faith, either through the, you know, because of the device, the phone or the social media, or really just when they go to college or whatever. And their kids are involved in church, they're involved in their student ministry, but the student ministries are maybe not very serious about being phone free.
Right.
And so they're allowing, they may be saying, hey, no electronics when they go to camp, but then they shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, but the kids are going to bring it anyway. And so there's no enforcement of it. And so it's so much discouragement.
It's a great question. I've honestly been thinking a ton through this because we got an email from a parent the other day saying super similar things. So just like, hey, my son is coming home and telling me that all of these guys while you're teaching are on their phones. And it starts with them. This is the super interesting part that I want to talk about, is it starts with them being on the Bible.
Oh, you're going to, right?
Yes. And I've been thinking a ton about that because my push, as often as that can be, and especially in middle school, because high school, we don't really see that as often.
No. Yeah.
But middle school, it's, I've been encouraging them, hey, bring your Bibles.
Bring your Bible.
Please. Mm-hmm. You know, especially we transition to now middle schools in small groups before they enter into teaching, and they're doing a Bible study together. And I'm like, how are you studying the Bible if you don't have a physical Bible in your hand? And I think my number one encouragement for parents is, man, I have so many students in our youth program who don't have a physical copy of the Bible. And that is my huge encouragement is, man, that, like, there's nothing greater, nothing more transformative than the word of God.
Right? Yeah. Amen.
That's what changed. Yeah. That's what brought me to salvation. Mm-hmm. Right. And God delights when we spend time in his word, mm-hmm. and learn how to flip through his word. Like, I had a student this past week who came to know Jesus and got to hand him his first Bible and was just teaching him like, hey, this is like how you flip through it. This is where Romans is. This is where John is. And it was so neat getting to see him for the first time, be so excited about, oh my gosh, like a physical thing.
The whole revealed word. To, right? That, yeah, it, you don't have to tap a bunch of buttons. You see the breadth and depth
exactly
of all the, yeah.
And him reading off the page, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I was like, that's who you are now. Mm. And it's just so cool how God delights in using his physical word, right? And I think that's my huge encouragement for parents is give your students a physical copy of the word, but also when approaching a youth pastor or approaching a youth ministry, encouraging that, hey, is there any way we can get physical Bibles inside of the church building, inside of, or on our kids' hands so that they can be flipping through it? And man, I think other than that, it's something that we're learning with and dealing with. And for me, it's like stepping into a brand new youth ministry position. I'm like, how do I deal with this?
And right.
Is it buckets? Is it, what is it?
We already have, a lot of things already set up with, you know, we all put our phones in
the phone bucket.
In the phone bin, yeah.
Right. So those things are super helpful for us. But always thinking about new ideas where kids feel the freedom to, man, I'm going to put my device away and this is actually a freeing thing to do.
Yeah.
Because that's the heart of the church, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I encourage parents. Of course, if you're not volunteering in that student ministry, I always encourage you to volunteer because the best way that you can create change is just being a part of that change. And so, I mean, I'm probably known as, you know, the student leader who always talks about how you shouldn't be on social media. But my girls, they know, they know. But at the same time, like that kind of gets around and they hear that message. And that's still an important message.
For sure.
I know that when we go to spring camp, my girls have always been like, oh, no.
It is phone. They so love refreshing.
It. Yes.
Right. And it's like, I think that's my favorite thing about Pine Cove, but also Curry Creek, any trip we go on, it's okay, your phones are away the whole weekend or the whole week.
Solidly, and
students on Sunday are like, I really don't want my
phone. I know. Back. Yes, and exactly.
It's always so shocking to me because we look at them and we're like, you're addicted to your cell phone. You love it. You this, you this, you this. When in reality, they're like, man, I don't want it back.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's neat to come alongside of them in that to teach them, okay, how do we actually do this in life? How do we have this tool that we can use as a tool for the purpose of God's kingdom, but not in a way that it turns into an idol?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And I mean, as we know, I just recently recorded another podcast about talking about how the problem with school phones in schools is really parents. Right. Parents are the ones who want to have access to their kids all of the time. So another thing I think parents can do if you're really discouraged is to make sure that you're in community with other parents in your church, because when more people start talking about it, it becomes more normal that, we should be, we know our kids are at church. I don't need to track their location. It's fine that they don't actually have their phone. We trust the student ministry, you know, while they're gone at camp. And so it does take work on our part, but that's what we're called to do as parents, not only as disciples, but as part of the church body, as the greater body of believers. And as far as the paper Bibles, I'm working with several families and churches in different places whose churches don't have paper Bibles at all to offer if you don't bring one. It's very much a, we have a church app, and you can access the scripture and the scripture notes or the sermon notes through the app. And so everybody's on a device. And so I think we all think that if we just merge the two, if we merge the church and the media and technology world that we live in, that there's a happy medium that can be found there. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we're headed in the right direction there. I think for some people, the direction works, but
it would totally shift my time with Lord in the mornings. And I think of that often, of like right now it's, okay, God, I'm going to spend time with you before I even touch my phone. And that is like any, if I look at my phone the moment I wake up, it's like my entire day.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Isn't that funny? And I hear you hear that all the time. Yeah. Yes.
And it's like, I think when we are in the sanctuary worshiping the Lord, it's like, it's a hard thing to have your physical device where it's like immediately bringing us away from the message to the text that we received, to the email we got, to our schedule for the upcoming week. And we need the physical word, right?
Yeah.
It draws us back to his presence.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so great. Thank you so much, Pearson, for this conversation, welcome. For just your obedience. Like I said, isn't it amazing? Like you heard from the Lord, you obeyed the Lord, and yes, praise God. Yeah. And may we all just be able to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just live obedient lives, constantly pursuing holiness.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Pearson, again, our guest. All right, y'all, if you still, as a parent, want to learn more, you want to dig deeper, you want to do that work of applying God's word to raising kids and setting these healthy media standards, make sure that you check out the brand new Manji Media Creating Character Study Guide. It's an 8-week curriculum that you can get. You can do with your small group. You can do it alone. You can do it with your spouse. It's great. So make sure that you check the link in the show notes so that you can gain access to that. Thank you so much, everyone. Until next time, go and be brave.